Services District Board of Directors meeting is called to order at, it's like about 6:38 PM. General Manager, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Monique Scobie, absent. Don Wolfson.
Present.
Eric Aiden. Aiden, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Present.
Sidney Bazett.
Present.
Tim Israel.
By Zoom, by phone.
Present.
And
we have a quorum.
A quorum. Would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. The principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the board. Individuals are allowed to speak on one item only. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their names before addressing the board. The board reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. Item one is adoption of the agenda. do we have any questions or concerns about the agenda? Questions? No questions.
None from me. Director Bazett, do you have any questions about the agenda? I don't think.
All right. I move that we adopt the agenda.
I should put it out to the public first, correct?
Any,
no.
You're certainly welcome to ask public comment.
All right. Is there any public comment on the agenda? Okay. Bringing it back to the board. Do we have a motion?
I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
And I will second that.
All in favor?
Director Wolfson, I'm
yes.
Sorry, because we have one director on the phone,
I on the phone.
Everything tonight by roll call.
Everything by roll call. Okay. Director Israel.
Aye.
Director Aiston.
Aye.
Director Bazett.
Aye.
And aye. Okay. We have no recognitions, appointments, and presentations. So we're moving to open forum for non-agenda items. Members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the jurisdiction of the board
There's
of directors.
There's something on the calendar.
Do we have any members of the public who wish to speak? Come on up and or stand up and let
yep.
us know your name.
Here, there. Kevin Cooksey, COOKSY, last name. I'm a 35-year resident of Cameron Park. On our evening walkabouts, I wanted to bring to your attention, I've noticed that perhaps the lighting district is starting to work on replacing the lights. If you're familiar with what I'm talking about, that we've always had these kind of muted yellowish flame-colored lights that have diffusers around them. And out for a walk, I've been seeing replacement, what I think are LEDs. They may be high-intensity incandescent bulbs, but they look like they're LEDs. And they're bright white, they're extremely harsh, and the diffusers are gone, so you just have this kind of cage up there that looks like the glass was shot out. So the first caveat is maybe these aren't done yet, there's more work to be done on them. I'm a big fan of LEDs, cost, longevity, service life, and all that kind of stuff, and our soft, lovely muted lights aren't real reliable, so I get that. But if that's the finished product, I'm really glad that the one in front of my house hasn't been changed yet, because it's been subjected to the blue lights coming at you down the freeway. It's that kind of thing. So they're really, in my opinion, unattractive, and I think we'll have kind of a industrial look to the streets once the changeover is complete. So, comment. Thank you.
Was there any other public comment?
Brad McMullen, Cameron Park. I wanted to speak on the survey. My personal opinion was that survey wasn't really built well enough so that you could assess the community, whether they're going to be acceptable of a second fire station getting shut down, or what the level of service for the best price. Now, certainly it was very subjective, and I'm really disappointed out of AP Triton that that's what they gave us. And my question, I guess, is did the board have any input or any approval in regards to the questions for that survey? Thank you.
And was
Barbara Rogers. I agree wholeheartedly with what Brad said, and in fact I heard from many people that they thought the survey just didn't make any sense for what we're going through in our community. So I also was really disappointed and would also like to know if you all had input on the questions to ask. So
thank you. Was there any other public comment? Could we address the question about the lighting?
Yeah, so PG&E has replaced three of our LLEDs, the ones that are financially upside down, with these LED lights that you're talking about. They do have screens that they can put on them, so what I'm explaining to the residents when I get a call about the light's too bright or shining in their window or something, PG&E can come out and screen half the light. And so that's kind of how we're addressing the ones that are, you know, interrupting people's houses or shining into their house. I did ask them about the wattage on the lights. I guess these are LEDs, they're integrated, so there's no bulbs, they're just the internal fixtures, the whole thing. But they're 3,000K lights, so, and I know they're pretty bright for 3,000s, but I think 3,000 is a little on the low end. So they're getting ready to, and I haven't given them the go ahead yet, but they have another 160 to 200 lights that they want to donate to us and install for free without a power purchase agreement. But there's a couple things I want to get squared away, like his concern, how they're going to address some of the residents that are getting the the light that's in their windows and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it's at now. The good part is it is taking some of the landscape lighting districts that are upside down, and it's going to help us balance the budget because these lights are about 33% cheaper in cost. So, and it is providing a better light. I think they're safer. It is a shock to a lot of residents because they are brighter and they do look more industrial. But we're looking to continue this process through. But yeah, there are some hiccups, and your point is valid, and we're looking into it. So.
Thank you. Director Ayerson, would you know the answer to the question about the survey?
Yeah, and I just want to confirm with council that we're okay to...
Very briefly, yes.
Right,
yes.
That's not an agendized answer.
It shouldn't be a discussion between the board members.
Correct. So I can address briefly the question about the survey as the chair on the ad hoc committee for that. No, we did not see the survey beforehand. There was at least one or two questions that we had some input on with the same concerns, trying to discern from this, do people live in our fire district or not, trying to let that be a filter through which we understood comments. So there were a couple of things that we gave input on, but no, we did not see a survey ahead of time. So, and you are not the only ones who have expressed those kinds of sentiments, so thank you for saying so.
Thank you. Okay, the next item is approval of the consent agenda. Do we have any questions or concerns about the consent agenda?
I'd like to pull item number 3, the mid-year budget review. Just have a few questions.
Okay. All right. Is there any public comment about the consent agenda? Okay, there's none. So do we have a motion?
I move to approve the consent agenda, pulling item number 3. And I don't know if this is the appropriate place, council, to make an amendment on that. Is I recognize we have somebody online for the draft audit, I believe, to speak into this. I'm amenable. I know items usually removed are the first items discussed, but if we want to honor time for staff from the audit, I'm more than fine to move that to later in the agenda so we can honor that as well. So I'm just trying to make sure I cover everything in all of this.
That would be fine.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda, pulling item number 3 and moving it as the board sees fit later in the general business.
I will second that motion.
Could you please call the roll?
Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Aston?
Aye.
Director Bazett? Director Bazett, we're voting to...
He's over here.
Oh, he's on the...
Okay.
I'm on Zoom now, but I don't think you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Aye.
Okay, I approve.
Okay. Thank you. Director Israel?
Yeah, Director Israel, thank you.
I will vote aye.
Okay, motion passes. Moving on to general business. Item number 5, the general manager's report. General manager, could you walk us through that?
Well, the very first thing is, our team is partially reorganized, has developed a different spirit approach, and our new motto is yes we can, and yes we will, as opposed to no we won't. We're also actively searching for volunteers. Because of the budget cut, REC only has 3 people. We have an opportunity to grow revenue through REC, through some programs that we found that are pretty good. But it takes volunteers. No hourly person can volunteer. They have to be paid overtime after 40 hours. So we need some help. The union has agreed to provide some, but we would like residents to participate as they see the full schedule of things that we are going to try and do, not only for your enjoyment, but also to raise some money. We have a new receptionist. She's highly competent, very personable. Stop in and say hi. Kaylee is a joy to have around. Now, we are meeting tomorrow or Friday, Mike, to go over some of these things and between now and August. But we're meeting with also some outside people that want to put on events. And we expect to have as good a program as the length of time between now and when they need to occur will be. We're expecting a summer spectacular that will be better than before, and with almost, hopefully, twice the attendance and revenue, because the union's partnering with us on it. Force kind of speaks for itself. We had the committee meetings. Mid-year budget's been forwarded for review. And the audit has as well. There was one question which I put in there that somebody from the public had asked on, or from the board, on why audits don't contain recommendations for internal controls. Well, they do if they find something that's wrong. But generally, you don't normally see them. I said in here I changed the safety protocols for the district, and I have. I have one person in charge of safety for everything. And we are going through all of the rules and regulations, and we're going to make sure that we are in complete compliance with everything. You will notice more signs where we think there's risk. We will have signage. So you see it in the parking lot. You'll see it at the trails. You'll see it at the lake. And you'll see postings of the first sheet on the emergency plan. What that'll do is that'll tell you if there's something wrong. You'll be able to see all around the park and in the buildings who you can call at any time. And we're going to make that a high visibility look so that it'll be easy to spot. I think it's, I know a lot of districts have it in the, and have it in the office, but I think that's a pretty poor bit of service. And so we'll have it in as many places as we can set it up. We have been going very detailed, not only in talking with all of you and out and about and the different, some of the different organizations, about which of the potential projects that we have and that we have money for through Park Impact Fees or Quimby or through our grant should be first. And I would like you to understand that I think not only do we want things that people will use and enjoy, but we also want things that are something that will help with the appearance, the safety, and the enjoyment of the park, and in some cases raise revenue. So first thing we're fixing is the gate at the park, at entrance to the lake. It's been down for over a year. People have parked for free. They've also chosen not to get their annual pass because they're getting in for free. So we're down that revenue. That will be fixed as quickly as I can legally do it, because there are steps that have to be gone through. It'll be an electric gate. It'll take either an annual pass or it will take a credit card. And there will be a parking fee. No in and out privileges, unfortunately. We can't make that work. We're also looking at taking 20 feet out of the aggregate wall in the lagoon and using that material to be compressed into a ramp for launching boats, paddle boats, canoes, you know, float tubes, whatever. And we're looking at an ADA dock so that disabled people will have an opportunity to use that as well and gain access. Opening the lake up has been very popular in the discussions. And I think it'd be highly attractive even beyond the community. We're also, because of the rain and the flooding and everything, both inlets, you'll see dirt, like little islands. And that's kind of dangerous for the lake, because it means in summer it's hard for whatever water is available to get into the lake and replenish it and keep it moving. So we are asking if we can do maintenance to do dredging without having to go through 100 hoops, just to protect our lake a little bit. I don't know the answer to that. Staff is looking, working with all the regulators. Mike's called Department of Water Resources, who's the place to start because they regulate our dams and things. And we'll see. And we'll see what it costs. I would hope that the person that can do the removal of the gap, or make the gap, can also do dredging, but we'll see. Third is pickleball. I know it's heavily favored. We want it for a number of reasons, not only because you would like it, but because upon investigation, I found that there is a very robust tournament schedule for pickleball, and it's a real revenue generator for people that participate. So we're hoping for four or five courts out on the dirt between Christy McCullough and the large parking lot. We will have to make some adjustments when there's soccer and things like that. We're also looking at putting in timed lights so it would be available at night. But it all depends on cost. Everything depends on trying to make it all work. D is something that was previously approved by the board, which is a bubbler to help turn over the lake. And I've talked to several people about this because I was asked to investigate it even further myself, and there's little question that it will help reduce the algae, enhance the oxygen. It's good for the fish. The lake will be better during late summer for it, and we don't have to run them all year. We run them 6 months a year during the warmer part of the year. I'm told that during the colder part, which we're still checking, it's not nearly as important, but it is during the warm weather. Next, we have to repair the community center. You know, when this community voted a bond, which created a third legal leg of this district, it had mandated services in it, but it provided zero money for maintenance and zero money to do those services. So that has to be raised. We get to use some of the Quimby money and in some case impact fees for some of this, and what we're trying to do is simply make the place more attractive. We have plans to increase the rentals, hopefully significantly over what we've seen, and the types of rentals. And to do that, you need to look a little cleaner and nicer. And we're going to look at updating the two cases in the front hall with a electronic, you know, a large monitor that will show activities and things, and we'll see about the other one. And we've had specific comments along those lines. Additionally, while you turned down a large splash pad, and I personally think that was a very good decision because of the geese, I demoed the slide because it was dangerous and it could not be repaired. But the plumbing's still there. So for relatively little money, I think we can put a small splash pad in there for the little ones to play with. And I think that's something attractive that we can do for them. The communications for this building are being pursued under a grant. And we're actively doing that right now. On the formal pickleball tennis court down there at the lake, I walk the tennis courts. I've heard the request for resurfacing. Resurfacing tennis courts is not cheap. In the one that was a pickleball court, we're looking at converting that to half bocce ball, which is very inexpensive to create, and half ADA playground, for which we think we can get a grant to pay for it. We're also looking at upgrading the regular playground because the material is about 25 years old. It's beyond its useful life, and we're a little bit concerned about continuing its use as is. So on outreach, I met with a ton of people far beyond what this says when I wrote it over the last week, including our state senator and her staff, and I just had an hour of conversation with one of them earlier who's looking to help us if they can on some things. And it's a different attitude. This is a welcoming attitude we have now. Everybody on staff feels that way. You know, you hear smiles and laughter around the place now. And that's what I believe is appropriate. And they're going to try very hard to help make up some of this money so that this district has an opportunity to revive. We're also going to make sure that all the rules are followed in the process. Thank you.
Okay, are there any questions from the board about the general manager's report?
I don't have any questions at the moment.
Director Bazett? Okay.
Can you unmute yourself? Oh, there you go.
I'm unmuted, thanks. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on, repeat that again, please.
Did you have any questions about the general manager's report?
No, there was just some new information, but thank you for the ask. I think I noticed it was very, very useful information. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Was there any public comment on the general manager's report? Let's hear you.
I'm Liz Gates, and I live near those tennis courts that are at the Cameron Park Lake location. And I'm thinking the court that is currently unusable for tennis, it would be wonderful if it could be restored to tennis. There's a growing interest in the sport of tennis, and because it was a tennis court previously, it would also be one of the options I'd really like to still be considered or evaluated as you talk to the landscape architect who will be helping. I think there's a potential, and it would be really wonderful if there were good programming that was actively worked on through the CSD to invite the community to really, grow that community of tennis players. It makes a great deal of sense to me. I just wanted to put that forward.
Thank you. Any other comments on the general manager's report? Okay, bring it back to the board. Discuss, receive, and file. We don't need a motion for that, do we? No. Okay. So the next item is the 2021-22 draft audit.
Do you want me to read the report? It's just they didn't have any findings of any significant issues. I don't know if anybody has any questions. Michael is on the phone if we have any.
Okay.
Who is our auditor?
Okay, were there any questions from the board?
Aaron pulled it, so.
No, this was the audit.
Oh, sorry, not the major.
Correct.
My fault. I do not have any.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have a general question, and this is as much just for the board to understand as well as any public listening. One of the big rocks in this is simply that the change in net position from 21 to 22 was quite significant in a season when we know budget-wise we weren't rolling in the dough or making it. We were coming out of COVID. We were trying to balance our budget. So I'm wondering if there are specific events within that year on our books that made that $1.7 million change in our net position, just so that everybody understands, because looking at some of these things, people could think, oh, we made $1.7 million, and that's not the case. Things can happen in one fiscal year that come from a previous fiscal year but can't be recorded until that. So I don't know if there's any major revenue-generating events or income events.
Christina can answer that.
That would explain the swing.
Without looking at things, I can't give a definite answer. I know that there were some, and it's hard because I'm kind of like overlapping fiscal years.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in 21-22 or 22-23. The CCI grant, I know mm-hmm. there were some funds that had been expended and we didn't receive them until the following year. That could be a part of it, but I would have to really kind of look at that to remember. Okay. I did see that if you look on page 8, it does say, that there's grants and contributions of $1.2 million. So that would have to be probably just
okay. I'm wondering if some of that too was that was the fiscal year we received reimbursement from the state that we had applied for out of the COVID funds, because we didn't obviously get it in 2021. I'm thinking 21-22.
It could have been 21-22 or 22-23. That's where I was at.
Right.
Like, okay. They kind of meshed together for me, so I'd have to double check and make sure.
Okay. I don't know if it's worth in some final publishing of this to have some addendum. We've done this in reports in the past where we highlight specific events that contribute to the bottom line. Just because if it becomes part of the public record and people looking at it, it's easy to explain, hey, we had this influx and we had this $200,000 from the state, and that's what contributed to the bottom line increase. Because it's a significant net position increase, and so I just want to make sure that we're able to explain that. That's my only question there.
Okay, Director Bazant, do you have any questions about the audit?
No questions, thank you.
Okay, taking it out to the public, is there any public comment on the audit?
I would concur with Director Haston that if there is a material change in the net position, there needs to be some due diligence to explain that to the public. It would be prudent to do so, so that the public is aware and that CSD is bringing full transparency to the effect.
Thank you. Are there any other comments about the audit? Bringing it back to the board. Director Aston, any comments?
No, I'd just like to ask staff to do that. And again, I don't think it's much more than there's a few events that happened that moved the needle here. And just record that in memoriam so that as people look at this, for anybody that would want to plow through it again, that it's there.
Yeah, I got it.
Director Israel.
Obviously, this is pretty late, and I've been assured that last year's audit is in process, so once this one is complete,
yes.
So I just encourage the timely submittal of these in the years to come.
Thank you. Director Bazant, did you have any comments? Doesn't sound like it, but I'd like a confirmation, please.
No comments, thank you.
Thank you, I have no comments. So, do we have a motion?
I'll move to approve the 21-22 financial audit as presented.
And I will second that motion.
And Director Bazant, that would be wonderful.
Director Scobie is absent. Director Wolfson?
Aye.
Director Aston?
Aye.
Director Bazant?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to item 3, which was pulled from consent. Just take it straight to questions, or?
Yeah, I think Eric's going to
be most interested.
Yeah, there's just a few questions on some of the line items, and some of this is, again, for information and transparency and such. One of the things that I know we were looking forward to, if not now, then quickly, is getting the second quarter report from CAL FIRE, and I know we've had some conversation about that just because that has some impact on our budget moving forward and decisions for next year. It's my understanding that we don't have the actual number yet, even though our partners are working with us. We don't have it from the state?
No, we do now. We have our second quarter. We just received that, and it's going to be paid soon.
Okay.
But we didn't have it
for this report, correct. So my simple request on that would be, this is the mid-year, can I assume that that will be included in a report that comes forward to the board next month?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's see. Wanted to highlight a couple things, a couple questions, but also some good things. we have some of our programs that are down revenue, and I'm grateful for the general manager for addressing some of that in his report. Look forward to seeing some of that increase. Want to recognize our first responder fee. Actual to this point is higher than budgeted for the year. That's good news. I want to thank our partners for helping us make that happen and get that going. Just want to confirm, Christine, you can probably answer this. So this is item 5160 in expenses. And so this is the CalPERS employer retirement, just both for myself and for the whole board. There is a large payment made early in the year and then a minor adjustment later in the year. Is that correct?
It's all paid at the beginning of
it. It's all paid at the beginning of the year. So we came in underneath that.
Yes.
14% significant. That's wonderful. Okay. Sorry for the pause here. We have maintenance on buildings that is at 138%. Can you remind us what the expenditures were for that? Or that went into that?
Is that the roll-up or per department?
It's roll-up.
So that's roll-up.
There's a couple things.
Yeah, some of those are FEMA-related costs that we're seeking reimbursement.
Okay, that's helpful to know for 138% over, but yeah. It's coming from FEMA. That's thank you very much.
Not all of it, but I do know that there's a chunk of money.
That's great, thank you. And then maintenance on vehicles, that's a roll up. Is that parks? Is that fire? Is that both?
Say that again.
That's okay. Maintenance on vehicles, it's item or line item 5370.
That would be parks and fire.
Okay.
I can speak to parks if you want.
Yeah.
So. We did purchase two trucks from Eldorado Hills Youth Pickups, but we are surplusing some pickups that have not hit the ledger yet. So that account's going to kind of be all over the place right now because we're expecting to be putting funds back into it.
Okay.
So,
and
additionally, fire had some maintenance issues come up on three trucks, and they were not cheap.
Yes. Just want to make sure we're understanding what it is that's bringing that up. And Chief Martin and the others have brought that to us, so we understand that. That does highlight our needed effort to continue adding maintenance and upkeep into this a little better than we have, and I know our partners are working on that with us, so thank you. Professional services, I'm assuming this includes our contract with AP Triton. This is professional services 5420.
I believe AP Triton is in Fund 7. This would be the Don Ashton.
Okay.
And other professional services.
Okay, the MRG. Okay, thank you for that. And I know that one's coming near the end. I had asked the general manager about this, but just want to put it out there on our utilities. I think it's about time we start getting some reports from Brighton. And maybe we have, we just haven't heard this. But
we requested them.
We requested them.
You have not received them.
Okay.
Previously.
Yes, we have not, and I'd really like to understand where we're at with that.
I can tell you what the long-term value is if you want to know.
What the long-term value is?
Of the contract. You're paying 19 cents a kilowatt hour. Over the term of the contract, that will be a saving. What you're not saving is the fact that since you entered the contract, PG&E and some of the others were successful in getting the solar rules significantly changed. The time of day at which you can get credit was moved into the afternoon when the sun isn't as effective. So you've lost what has been a traditional either cut in your power bill or a significant credit. That's different. You also will pay transmission expense to PG&E and continue to do so. In looking at the whole package, what I think is that over time, you will see some savings, just not what you thought you'd get. And I do not recommend buying it.
And that would be part of what I'd like to request from Brighton, is an analysis of that, so we understand that in numbers. And that's all my questions for now. Thank you.
Director Israel, did you have any questions?
I do not.
Does Director Bazett have any questions?
I do not.
And I don't. So taking it out to the public, is there any public comment on the mid-year budget review? Okay, if there's no public comment, bring it back to the board. And this was just receive and file, so if there's no further comments, we'll move on to item 7, which is approve, establish an ad hoc environmental sustainability committee. General Manager?
Yes, this is at the request of our president. This came up once before, a couple years ago, before the full board, and given the circumstances and workloads at the time, it was deferred. So the president asked me to bring it up again for discussion. She had suggested a one-year ad hoc committee. I know that one member of the board is suggesting, why not just make it a permanent committee? Staff is okay either way on that part. But I would simply say that this consideration is part of what I personally do and my staff does as we do things. I mean, that's what the world is now. You have to consider these things as a matter of course when you're making decisions because there's so many rules that require it. And so if you don't, you're going to end up getting in trouble. So I think that the committee can have value in pointing out to us things that we may not see because we do have a limited staff. And so I can see that it can have value and add value. And I think that, a couple of board members, at least two public members, and one staff member to assist. Quarterly meetings.
Okay, are there any questions from the board?
I have a couple. Alan, what tasks do you envision the committee would be responsible for? Could you shed some light on that?
Well, there's an awful lot of environmental stuff that can hit the CSD, and they may choose to review areas that we practice in and see if there's things they think we can improve. I know that there have been some suggestions about our waste contract, but our waste provider does have the contract for the whole slope. There is a new statute that requires a higher level of conduct with respect to organics, but I understand that they have something that they're doing. I haven't looked at it since I got told. And I also understand that the state is allowing people to work their way into it because of the hit that statute has overall. I think the committee could look at the statute and see what kind of suggestions they have that are practical for the district, and to the extent they are not or too expensive, whether we need to seek an exemption. Because there's a lot of things that the environmental community would like that are not cheap, and that a district this size would have a great deal of difficulty doing, even if they're a good idea.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions, Director Aston?
No questions, I'll have some comments when we bring it back.
Okay. Director Bazett, do you have any questions?
Yes. And I'll speak further in the comments section, but will this sustainability committee have greater oversight of our franchise with El Dorado Disposal in any specific issues that consumers might have?
Well, since they are one of the ones charged with the responsibility of helping us enforce or comply with the new statute, I would think it would be reasonable for that committee to have some role in that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, see, I have none. Taking it out to the public, is there any public comment on the possible ad hoc committee? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. And you had a comment, I think?
Well, just some thoughts. I know we had brought this up prior in our 5-year strategic plan, and I am by no means against the idea of having a greater awareness and discussion among the board and staff on environmental sustainability. And I'm not against an ad hoc committee that would meet quarterly. I will say I am not in favor at this point of a standing committee for this. I think most of what happens here already happens with staff. And just in our discussions, you know, from Mike changing out the watering systems to be wireless and more water efficient to all the different things that happen as a matter of course in our work, I think we do most of this. I do like the idea of a little more interaction with El Dorado Disposal with some of the organic statutes coming down. It might also be helpful to us as we bump up against it to be able to, as a district and with the county, give a word to the state when they're mandating electric vehicles that no company is producing enough of for these agencies to actually even use, let alone is it practical in our environment in El Dorado County to use electric vehicles in the ups and downs of our hills, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's some things here that could be helpful. And I would not, I'm not against an ad hoc committee. An ad hoc committee is for a short period of time, usually no more than a year. My question becomes, usually ad hoc committees have a goal that once they achieve it, the ad hoc committee then disbands or dissolves. And I don't see that here. So before we set it up, I'd like to see some very specific goals that we put in place so that next year when we come back to this, the ad hoc committee can say, here's what we've done, here's what we did. And if the board wants to extend it another year after that, just for situational considerations, I'm not against that. I don't see the need for a standing committee at this point. Again, staff typically does this on their own. I'm grateful for board input to keep that going because staff can change. But
I think, since it's been brought up, I think one of the goals of that committee would be a complete review of our waste contracts and relationship with the solid waste provider and what they can do. I'll be happy for that help.
And perhaps even in that is to bring a report to the board in a year of an assessment of what we do and just report those things out that staff already does. We get it in anecdotes in Parks and Rec. We get it in anecdotes here and there, but perhaps a consolidated report. And at that point, we might just recognize we're doing what we need to. And then the ad hoc committee is done. So that perhaps that could be a goal too, a report on current efforts, current work toward that kind of sustainability. I can't speak for Director Scobie, but I know this was important to her too. And part of this is just making sure we're doing what we can in all of our decisions in all the departments with everything from the lake to our cars to any other properties we acquire, et cetera. It's just always been vague as to what that actually means, what we're actually looking for, what we actually want to do. So my suggestion would be a report at the end of the year, greater oversight and looking into the franchise agreement to make sure that that's equitable, as well as providing report to both the board and the community on the upcoming impact of organics with the potential for the district to create some kind of a statement with the county to the state if we find those impacts are unmanageable for us.
Director Israel.
I'm very supportive of a committee that will address sustainability. If we look at our 5-year plan, sustainability is one of kind of the 5 specific areas that are discussed in that document, yet we don't on a regular basis discuss sustainability or consider it in our actions. And so I personally would prefer to see a standing committee for this, because this is not an issue that goes away after a year. it's an issue that we need to deal with in our planning and in our approach to how we provide services, to how we improve our facilities, to how we use our resources. And I think that it's something that needs to be looked at all the time from now on. And so, I wouldn't be I would like, if we don't want to form a standing committee immediately, that the goal of the ad hoc is to study and decide whether or not to form a standing committee for this. Because I think it goes beyond just our waste contract, although that is a significant lift for us, and it's going to be a lot of work over probably the next couple of years to get into compliance with SB 1383. There are other issues, like you said, water consumption is a great example of it. Our utility bills and how we can manage that. What are our practices in all these rooms when none of them are occupied? So there's just a lot of practices that I think could be addressed. Doesn't have to be every month. I think quarterly frequency is an excellent idea. And so, one way or the other, I am supportive of a committee that addresses sustainability. I just think it deserves more long-term consideration.
And if I can just ask a question of clarification, when you say sustainability, because in the 5-year strategic plan, there were two different kinds of sustainability. I just want to make sure you're talking about environmental.
Yes.
Because sustainability is also financial, economic, all of that. Well, so I'm just clarifying.
Yes, you're, in this case, this is to address environmental sustainability issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I appreciate that, because I think we can figure out in a year if this does deserve a standing committee, or if having staff turn off lights when nobody's in the room is something that doesn't need a committee. So, and I'm not downplaying. You're right. We need to look at those things. But I think a year of this committee will help us determine if we need that or not. So
yes.
I'm in agreement with you.
All right.
Okay, Director Bazett.
Yes, this is an area of interest for me. I'm clearly supportive of it. I don't know if it needs to be a monthly meeting, and I'm not fixed in thinking that it needs to be a permanent or an ad hoc committee, but I think we can sort that out. But I think the issues never quite go away, so it's not like it ever has an end game. My point of view is more as the franchise is with the CSD, and we should be protecting the consumers in our district. And there's 7,000 homes that they pick up the garbage every week. That's approximately 30,000 a month. And I have an odd issue, but it has some implications that are pretty serious. I've twice been in charge, an extra charge from a garbage can, and tried to get an explanation from the Colorado Disposal, and they really couldn't provide one. They don't take a picture with what I think it was. The wind blew my lid off. I think the other one was my lid might have been up open 6 inches. So when I took a picture of the last time just to share with the general manager and one of the board members who's more knowledgeable in this area than myself, and I said, I don't think we ever approved anything about where the lid being raised a little bit, or if the lid blows off that somebody has to go put it down. And so I had some communication with Elvira Disposal. They sent me a rate sheet of 2008. But it still never really addressed the two issues of either the lid blowing the lid off or the lid being raised a few inches. And so the implications are, kind of a nuisance for me as an individual. They were two cans, $10 one month and $10 previous month last fall. But I started thinking of the financial implications. So when I talked to one of the administrators, well, how often do they have these charges? He simply couldn't give me an answer. He said, we don't know. And I said, well, let's assume it's 10%. That's 3,000 homes a month. That's $30,000 for 1 month and over $300,000 for a whole year. A money that maybe we never approved of, allowed them to charge, but they need it anyway. Or if it's 5%, it's half that amount. But it's significant amounts of money. And then the process problem bothers me. Because if I'm doing something I shouldn't do, I should be given a notice or warning, or it's easy enough to take a digital picture or something like that. They have no process in place for that. No one could even provide an explanation of why I was charged. It wasn't like I had an extra bag of garbage or anything that it was the lid slightly raised or possibly the lid being blown open. That was one issue. The second one was this one that, and I've kind of talked with neighbors and next door. The other one next door is there's been charges for putting plastic bags in the recycle. And I've never seen anything on that. I think it's an educational thing. So those are two issues that I think we need to protect the consumers of our district. I think our garbage rates are a significant amount for the people in our community. And we need to do our due diligence to keep those numbers in line. And also, we should not allow our garbage provider to be charging something they're not entitled to charge that we've never approved. So I highly support the idea of the State Development Committee having on-looking oversight of these kinds of things and having a place where, oh, and I might mention also, their complaint process is nearly impossible with Hill Road disposal. So we might serve a function for our community as that. If they have an issue, there's a person or a contact that they can make contact with. So I am highly supportive of moving forward on this, and I would highly recommend that oversight of Hill Road disposal is an important part of that function of that committee.
Thank you. Yeah, just a couple of comments. I mean, one is that if El Dorado Disposal is going to charge people an extra $10 for a violation, they ought to be able to tell you what the violation is. And I actually heard from somebody, I can't remember who it was, but somebody did tell me that they had gotten a phone call because there was plastic in the green bin or something. So I guess sometimes they tell you, but really they ought to be able to tell you if they're gonna charge, you know, especially we've got senior citizens and so on. But anybody, they should be able to. But anyway, so yeah, I'm supportive of a quarterly ad hoc committee with the caveat that at the end of a year they ought to be able to make a determination as to whether or not we need a permanent committee. Okay, so is there a motion?
Well, just a point of order, do we really need a motion here, or does the president just make these?
The president requested.
I mean, it's asking for approval.
We will want to agendize it for a future meeting and the president can make an ad hoc committee those appointments.
But we have to approve it first, yes or no?
No.
No, we don't have to approve it, okay.
Well,
she simply requested advice of the board. She has authority to then make the decision.
Okay.
You've given your advice, and it's up to her.
Oh, the agenda says approved, so that's why I'm asking.
Well, I'm sorry, maybe I'm missing the wrong line. If it's my understanding, any committee has to be approved by the board, ad hoc or standing.
I'd have to look at the rules again. However, I misunderstood where we were on the agenda. You're correct that this is approved, so
I think so, because it's an expense to the district. You can't just.
I looked it up.
That's true, it is.
I don't believe it. I don't think so.
Although in this case it would be proving that there is an ad hoc committee, not necessarily something who would.
Right.
My understanding in the wording is that the president has the power to appoint people to the committees, ad hoc or standing, whatever. That doesn't require board, but it's the existence of a committee.
I believe that's correct, Director Grace. I simply don't have those rules here in front of me.
Okay.
So, but I believe you're correct. And I think I heard Director Bazett actually just make a motion while we were talking about it. Hear the specifics.
Could I hear it again? Director Bazett?
I guess is the motion that the board is encouraging the president to appoint an ad hoc committee, is that basically the language it should be?
Well, the item says approve.
Right. Approve the establishment of an ad hoc environmental sustainability committee.
Okay, then I'm so moved that we establish an ad hoc advisor for sustainability.
Okay, is there a second?
I will second that.
Okay, could we have a roll call vote, please?
All right. President Scobie is absent. Vice President Wolfson?
Aye.
Director Easton?
Aye.
Director Bazett?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Okay. We are moving forward to committee chair report outs, and I guess the first one is me, where did I put it?
Over here if you want.
I have notes and everything. And it's, okay. Oh, here, okay, I see them. Don't get old. all right. So as far as the budget and admin meeting, we discussed a couple of items that we discussed tonight. So the mid-year, the 21-22 audit, the budget review. We appointed a chair, which was Director Scobie, or I'm sorry, which was me. I was hoping it was going to be Director Scobie. I was appointed to chair. Director Scobie was appointed to vice chair. We discussed the draft audit and the fact that the audit for the following year, 22-23, was being worked on, the mid-year budget, and that we are going to ask Mike, the check register we discussed. The check register. We are asking for Mike Churchill to do a report out on the EDSWAC, which is what the Eldorado Solid Waste something committee.
It's the Eldorado SWAC.
Yeah. So we are.
But he has not been appointed yet, so he has not done anything.
He hasn't been.
Well. I have not heard.
He was
okay.
Approved.
He was approved at the last meeting. Yeah.
Board, the board of supervisors have to appoint him.
Okay. All right.
So we need to, I don't know when that is happening.
Okay. All right. We discussed the $10 a can waste. Maybe that's where I heard it. We discussed bringing a performance standards matrix, a plan of action for underfunded districts, and I believe that was related to LLADs. And we talked about SB 1383, which is an update to the waste collection ordinance regarding organics. So that was it for budget and admin. I think fire is next, so that's me again. And that was a fairly short brief meeting.
CCNR will be next.
Oh, is that CCNR's is next? Yeah, CCNR so that next. Would be.
I'll take that. Our chair's Bob Dutta, but Sydney, I'll take the glory here. So basically, it was a pretty quiet month in CCNR. The Architectural Review Committee continues to do a good job in pushing projects through their review. There were two legal notices sent out with regards to boats and trailers and driveways. What a surprise. Those are typical issues that we have out there. There was one other item that we've come to some resolution on, a shed that's built slightly outside of kind of what the normal configurations were, and I think CCNR staff found a solution for that before we had to go to legal. So that's it. No big issues at the moment in CCNR. Sid, do you have anything you want to add?
I learned something. There's kind of what I can call it, but gadfly, there's a CCNR ongoing violator who fixes it and then a new one reappears. He fixes it and reappears. And I learned something new that he keeps a kind of what I call new case number or something like that. It's like it's on. Jim seems to be on top of that. I was very impressed with that. It isn't a brand new violation. It's kind of like accumulated kind of a thing?
Yes. Whenever we open a case, he doesn't close the case. It stays dormant until there's a new violation and it reopens. So it keeps the timelines from just extending back out to where they were before. So it's an effective way to proactively go after people who are basically serial violators. Is how I would describe it.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's see. Fire and Emergency Services. We appointed the chair, which was me, the vice chair, which was Director Aston. Talked about the fire prevention, the department report, and then the fire prevention report. It was stated that Chief Richards met with the tax collector's offices regarding business licenses that were working with our new inspection vendor on improving the workflow and getting a report of inspections that were done and working on reporting software. And we're going after a SAFER grant, which was declined the previous year. And I mentioned the hospital as an after thing. I had done a tour of Marshall Hospital, and I think all the fire chiefs have done this as well. The hospital is facing some major seismic retrofitting requirements from the state of California, and they have until 2030 to do it, which is about $30,000 more than they think they can come up with. It's a one-size-fit-all law, so if you're in San Francisco and if you're on a major seismic zone, or you're in Placerville and you're on a very low risk seismic zone, you still have to do the upgrade. By 2030, if the law doesn't change, they will pull your license. So that's just something to be aware of. I believe our state senator and our assemblyman are on it, and they're trying to get the legislature to do something. Okay, so Parks and Rec.
So Parks and Rec, we had a protracted discussion about how to handle contracting for our landscape architect and some of the project work we want to do associated with parks. And I think general consensus was that we want to move forward with the gate project, as Alan mentioned earlier. We feel that that's a good project. We had vetted that before, but some of the pieces of getting that project put together just haven't come together yet. So we view that as a kind of a project we know we want to do. There's also some issues of our park funds actually paying for that. We think it's a good project one way or the other, so we'll keep that separate. And then look at these other projects that Alan mentioned in his general manager's report, as starting to look at putting costing together those and really trying to prioritize what projects we want to do and when we want to do them and what the feasibility of those things are. So we talked about that. We also talked about Quimby funds and some of the fees, where we could be spending that in some areas that where we need it right away. And then finally, we received a kind of an annual recreation report that was excellent. I'd recommend the board members and any members of the public to go take a look at the Park and Rec's agenda from last month, just to see that summary of what we got done last year and what we're planning to do here coming into this next year. So that's a nice report. So that's my report.
Okay, and then the
if I can just add one piece to that. On the Parks and Rec, being there with Tim, he referenced some of the projects and that have come up in the general manager's report too. So we'll make sure we're paying attention to that, because one of the elements was we have some Prop 68 funds that have been previously assigned to other things that could expire. So we're wanting to make sure that that doesn't, we get to use them.
That's correct.
Right, so that's potential
fast track.
Right, the fast tracks, potential shade structures at the pool is one of the ideas, trying to apply appropriately. But I want to commend staff for getting on that and moving it. Thankful that we're continuing to go after those projects. That's also the cue for me to remind us as a board, be going back to look at the previous parks improvement plan to make sure that we're aware of all of the projects. Because, for instance, bocce ball's been brought up over at the lake. Well, that was part of the previous project. So, you know, one of the questions I asked, well, why are we talking about doing that at the lake versus Rasmussen Park, where it was originally planned? It might be better at the lake, and that's fine.
It's cheap and easy, and it has a base in place.
Well, and I'm not asking for an answer now as much as I'm just saying I want to make sure that as we make these decisions, we're comparing it to the work we've already done and continuing to prioritize those. Some of these are urgent. We've got to get it done. The safety at the pool, all of those things are right. Just want to make sure the board is staying engaged with the work we previously done as we move through those projects.
Okay.
That's all.
So, fire annexation ad hoc committee.
There is a survey that's gone out to the public. We had a virtual meeting, and always wish that more people could be involved, but I appreciate those that did come and ask questions and engaged AP Triton in that. We are how close to the end of that closing?
Today.
Okay.
Today or tomorrow, yeah.
So we'll get the results from that. Last, we need a potential draft from some of that information next month, but no final date for when we get that to the board. I'm hoping that as quickly as possible. The ad hoc committee continues to meet with groups. I'm planning to meet with the Taxpayers Association on March 5th. General managers working on other appointments and with supervisors and with a fire committee at the county level. So we continue to seek out the people we need to talk with, information that we need to get. Continue to stay engaged with our partners that are involved in the study. And that's about all I have to report at this point.
Okay. Matters to and from board members and staff. Would you like to start with the training that's on the agenda? Or I can read it if you'd like.
I would like to encourage attendance at both. It's important to participate in legislative days, and certainly the entire board and key staff can always benefit from continued training in how special districts work and should work.
Thank you. Director Aston.
Just one thing. I got to attend the Planning Commission meeting that was held here at the CSD this last week in regards to the Cameron Meadows project. For those that aren't familiar with that, it's a housing development project proposed over around what's called Rasmussen Pond, right next to Rasmussen Park. It was always encouraging to see a meeting that draws out the community easily, close to a couple hundred people in there. We had to pull out more chairs and lots of standing room, lots of people speaking. I was encouraged by the representatives that came from the Planning Commission to listen and hear. And we continue to encourage members of the community if they want to chime in on that. Cameron Meadows at eldoradocounty.gov, I believe. But that's up next door. It's up in a number of places, and as well as the county website. But it was really nice to see that. And in our report, part of my presence there was to make sure that part of the discussion is the impact on our district. To talk about fire services, because that borders up against Station 88. It's in the rescue district. Had a good conversation with my friend Tim. We're on the same page and all of that, but as well as making sure that if it happens to get annexed into our Parks and Rec, what does it mean? There's open space proposed in that, and we need to be careful about what happens with that. I think it's about 100 acres of open space, and it sounds nice to say, oh, our district could have 100 acres of open space, but unless there is revenue or funds attached to that for the maintenance and upkeep, we're setting ourselves up for just more issues. Yep. Let alone that Rasmussen Pond, I don't know. Are we going to have to do a yearly report on that like we do on Cameron Park Lake?
Probably,
right? So there's another $25,000 every year for that. So just want to make sure that as that develops, we're staying aware and involved and asking the questions. And if they want to do it, great. Give us $1 million seed money and we'll put that in a fund to help that run in perpetuity. So that's my only piece right now.
Thank you. Director Israel.
No, I do not have anything.
Director Bazett.
I have nothing.
Okay, I have two things. In addition to the meeting that Director Aston was talking about, which I stayed for part of it, there have been several candidate forums. Our supervisor is up for election this year. We have three candidates for supervisor, our current supervisor, George Turnbull, and then we have Chris Cockrell and Kevin McCarty, not the Sacramento Kevin McCarty. So I would encourage you to go online to the League of Women Voters site, or it's all over Facebook, Nextdoor, whatever. Learn about the candidates. It's going to be an interesting election. And then finally, this is an election year for the CSD. We are going to have two positions open, and anybody in the public who is interested is welcome to put their papers in and run for the board. Well, that was all that I had.
Can I ask a question to follow up that?
Mm-hmm.
General Manager, would it be possible to just put on the list that's already too long a potential forum table in the summer for anybody who might be interested in running for one of these board positions, so that they can find out more about it, interview current board members, ask some questions.
Oh, workshop.
Yeah, workshop.
Thank you. That was actually the point of that, and I forgot it.
I'll pick it up and run with it too. But we've done that in the past, and it's been helpful, and particularly in a year when there's a lot happening. We'd love to see more of the community engage and find out about it and give them opportunity to learn.
Yeah, I think it's sometime in July. Is it August 4th is the deadline?
August 4th is the deadline, so, you know, June would hopefully work, and that would give folks a couple of months maybe to ask questions and get after that.
Okay, there's nothing else? Oh, did I not ask Director Bazett? Oops.
Did he? I don't
know. No, you didn't.
No, I did.
You did.
I did. I did. I did.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
So do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
Okay, and I guess, do we need a roll call vote on this as well?
Ideally, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Just to be official.
Rapid fire.
All right.
President Scobie is absent. Vice President Wolfson?
Aye.
Director Aston?
Aye.
Director Bazett?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Okay, I call the meeting adjourned at 7:55 p.m. Thank you very much for coming, everybody.